Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. Friends, we are back with Dan and Bailey, and we're talking all about blue light glasses today and what blue light toxicity is, how we need to use blue light glasses, potentially how we're going to deal with our light bulbs in our, you know, homes and such, and so much more. I hope you guys enjoy the chat. I want to talk about the blue light glasses and blue light toxicity and understand or help everyone understand why it's important, because when they first came out, I remember thinking it was just another consumer scam. It was something for us to buy. You know, everyone figures out something new that we need to have.
Right.
And I resisted. And I thought it was all the young people just getting on the train.
Yep.
Oh my God, my blue light glasses. And then I learned more. And then, of course, I had another health issue. And Dr. Allison said, blue light glasses.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what blue light toxicity is and why we should be wearing them. And then I want to get into how we should be wearing them and using them.
So the best example I like to use is if you've ever been camping and you go camping someplace out in the wilderness and you cook dinner and then you have the fire and then you roast marshmallows, you sit around, you talk, and suddenly you're like, wow, I'm so exhausted. It's time to go to bed. It must be like midnight. And you look at your watch and it's 8:30. Your body is really in circadian rhythm then. You're out in nature. You get up with the sunrise and you're really going to bed 2 hours after sunset. You haven't been stimulated by blue light. So what blue light does is, let's say you look at your phone at 8:30 at night and you don't have a filter on it. The blue light from your phone is the same color temperature as the sun at noon. So if you look at it at 9:30 at night without blue blocking glasses on or out of filter, you just told your brain it's noon and it stops releasing melatonin. So you end up having a problem with sleep. And then blue light also can deplete serotonin and dopamine, so you feel depressed. And that's before you even get into the content of what you're looking at. So we're surrounded by it all day, and your skin can absorb it too. So we're sitting under these lights right now. I'm assuming they're LEDs. So your skin can absorb it, and especially for women, if you're sitting in front of a computer, you want to try and block your thyroid because it's very close to the surface. So you can have issues from blue light, and it can suddenly start producing hormonal problems. So you're getting it through your eyes all day long, and if you're not blocking it, you try to go to bed. And this is one of the things that was really frustrating when we were in the moldy house. Plus, I was sitting in front of a computer all day with three screens, had the phone next to me all the time, the Wi-Fi router, and we ended up having high tension lines over the back of our house. So I was kind of getting cooked in microwave the whole time. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be completely exhausted and either have to suck down a bunch of coffee or take a nap. But then at 11:30 at night, I was wide awake and couldn't fall asleep until 3. And then by 7:30 in the morning, I was dragging myself out of bed. So part of that was from the mold, but most of it was also from blue light, and it kicks you out of your circadian rhythm.
So blue light, what is it?
So you're going to get the dumb guy explanation. I don't know the nanometers. It's on the spectrum from green up to purple, close to purple. And when you're sitting under fluorescent lights or LED lights, the spectrum is mostly in the blue. And I'll send you a link to what different light shows. Full spectrum light, most like the sun, is candlelight. And you can get some of these non-flicker LED lights that are most close to the sun or candlelight. But you're only getting that tiny spectrum of the light. When blue light is balanced out with red light, you've got purple, and then it's okay because the sun is 40% red light all the time.
You went a lot more intense than I thought. I was just going to say blue light is like iPhones and TVs and stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure, well, compact fluorescence, LEDs.
But I love the education we just got to do.
Yeah, well, thanks. The iPads, the TVs, the screens, the computers, they're all based on a blue light spectrum.
So if we had a red light on next to our laptop and we're making purple light, would that be good?
Yeah, a lot
better.
I think Dr. Cruz would probably say it's better. You know, you can offset with one of those Juve type lights, those red lights. The best thing he's going to say is put a filter on it and sit outside naked in the sun while you're working.
Yeah.
It's really.
But also wear your blue light glasses.
Right. And the blue light glasses, the ones you're wearing right now are daylight ones, and they block between 40% and 60%, and the red ones you had on the other night block 100% of the blue light.
I thought these blocked 70%, no?
60, well, so depending on, yours aren't prescription, right?
No.
They're just Planos. Yeah, so those will block about 65%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can actually get these with prescription? People ask me all the time, like, yeah. I don't know, just go on the website.
We do, yeah, prescription. Single vision, multivision.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but It's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory, and with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
So one of the other things that was complicated for me in the beginning is, when do I wear them and where do I wear them?
All the time. Yeah, this is a new lens we're testing out and I don't like it. It's supposed to block about 30%, but I don't feel like it does.
30%? So, why would you want 30 and not 60?
Because these are clear and a lot of our customers don't like the yellow tint. And it just doesn't give me the same effect. So I don't think we're going to produce these. The ones you're wearing are the best ones. Mm-hmm. Those are from a...
So do we think Bono was wearing 100% blue light blocking glasses all these years with those red sunglasses?
I think he was.
Yeah.
I really think he was.
I'm going to see him in Malibu next time. I'm going to walk up to his table at Soho House and ask him.
Great.
Yeah. Were you ahead of the curve, Bono? So the yellow tint glasses that I'm currently wearing are to be worn during the day when you're using your computers and your phones and you're indoors with non-natural sunlight.
Correct.
When you're outside, you take them off.
Yeah, you should never really wear contacts or glasses or sunglasses outside because your eyes were designed to absorb all of the light spectrum from the sun. And sunlight codes for, I don't know how many, like 1,000 different proteins in your body. So
it what?
It codes. Oh. Basically, you know how your body takes cholesterol and takes sunlight and creates vitamin D. It does that for, and this is another Dr. Cruz thing, I'm going to be a dumb guy Dan explanation, but... It takes the sunlight and codes for different proteins in your body. So the design is you get the sunlight. Like if you're in the sun at the beach and you're grounded, you're not as hungry. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I haven't.
When I'm at the beach, I don't have to eat maybe about half of what I normally do because you're getting all that energy from the sun and it's coating all of those different proteins in your body. And I feel clean and healthy and energetic. I really want to move to the beach at some point.
Yeah, me too. So what I've learned from Dr. Allison and Dr. Cruz is that we have UV receptors on our eyes.
Yes, thank you.
That take in that light and then do all the processes inside of our bodies. And what's awful is we don't realize, like my post office guy, Ben, who I love, he was telling me how his contacts were bothering him. He was getting headaches. I was like, get rid of them. Dr. Cruz says that they block the oxygen to your eyes.
They do, yeah.
And he did. God bless him. I said, get outside and get that natural light And maybe you'll actually heal your vision mm-hmm. by getting some of that light. Then I told an eye doctor that, and he said, I think that some contact lenses, they've upgraded them so that
the oxygen gets through.
The oxygen can get through. I don't know. But my baby nanny that I have, I've been teaching her, if for some reason I have to get up early and do something and she's going to do that first feeding, Athena goes outside at sunrise.
How wonderful. First feeding
in the sun with me, as naked as we can be. And I said, take off your glasses, take off your sweater, mm-hmm. roll up your pants and get as much of that sun for yourself too. And she's like, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
So
what a blessing for your child. Just going to grow up super healthy.
She's going to be the CEO of her health.
No, in this toxic world.
You know, what's crazy is I didn't realize it till the other day. We were at the beach and I said, wow, she's cold plunging in the ocean. So I've been putting her in the ocean and she kind of like wiggles her body and she has this confused look on her face.
What are you doing, Mom?
But she likes it, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And she's grounding in the sand with me. She's feeding outside. She's getting her circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. She's already building these healthy habits. She was in the sun. You can see my iPhone clocked 20 minutes after birth.
Wow.
I brought her right outside.
You're a genius. That's
and
awesome.
I'm not a genius. I'm learning from them. That's why I love this show so much. And so, you know, the first thing they said to me is like, oh, well, you know, we'll have to do all the tests tomorrow before we release you and she'll have jaundice. And they were just assuming she was going to have all these things. I go, no, you don't understand. First of all, I've gone through all the shit so she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
So this is a new chapter. I don't think you understand. God is going to make this next chapter amazing.
Yeah.
All that stuff's behind us. She's going to be fine. No, you don't understand. They all get jaundice. I go, no, you don't understand. I'm taking her out. We're going in the sun. And that's going to be her medicine.
Yeah.
And so she never got jaundice. And she loves the sun.
Yeah.
She loves going outside. And at first, my dad was so scared.
Yeah.
I'd be out there with her, Maria, don't let the baby. I'm like, Dad, I'm building her solar callus.
Yep.
We were slowly
early
doing
in
it.
Early in the morning. Five minutes.
Yeah. Then it went to 10 minutes. Yeah. Then we built up to 30 minutes. And so, you know, it is for me so important to help her build these healthy habits because we've gone against our nature. So that's why we're all messed up right now and having to go back to nature to figure it out. And that's why I love all of these new lessons in blue light toxicity. I see doctors and nurses and I want to help them so badly.
What's
Isn't
so
that funny?
Funny
that... I want to help doctors and nurses as that came out of
I
my mouth.
Well,
they're supposed to be helping us. They don't know how bad it is.
No.
I told a girl she was doing my ultrasound the other day and she's just staring at this screen. I go, I can't believe you don't have blue light glasses.
Yeah.
She's like, what's that? And I go, oh my God, you poor thing.
Yeah.
As a first time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
It's horrible.
We were very fortunate. We had a serendipitous event when my wife was pregnant with our first child. We had this birthing coach. Her name was Vivian, and she was, I call her a crunchy conservative. And she was great. She just taught us, this is in 1994, about how the Western system is and how you have to be an advocate for yourself. And it came so handy so many times. One time, our son Nick, who's in the video we made, when he was a baby, had an issue where he had to have surgery. And I asked the surgeon, she taught us to keep asking questions until you're satisfied. So talk to the surgeon, ask all my questions. And he was really great, really cool. We're standing in this room that's probably about a size of the stage with 11 people in there. And then this angry woman who's the anesthesiologist who was about to get off call came in. I started talking with her, asking her questions. She's getting really angry and frustrated. And she, finally, she looks at me and she goes, "Are you a physician?" And I said, "Does it matter?" And she goes, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, no, I'm not." And I said, "Well, what are the side effects of this medication?" She goes, "Ding, ding, 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 ding. Finally, death. Is that enough?" I said, "Well, how does this medicine react with the medicine they gave him in the ER?" And she goes, "What medication?" And I was like, "Gotcha, bitch." And she starts flipping through her papers.
Wow.
And she was stunned. And I said, "Do you see why I'm asking the questions? You didn't know that he had medication. You don't know if it has any reaction. So you absolutely have to be an advocate for your yourself and for other people around you, because they're busy, they're overworked, they're stressed out, and they make mistakes.
They do.
With properly prescribed medication."
One of my favorite lines in Tony Robbins' latest health book was, "Doctors can be sincere and sincerely wrong."
Yeah.
And that's a really great example of someone who was going through the motions.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, it doesn't matter if I'm a doctor or not. You are hired by me. This is somebody, I told someone this last night. We have it all so twisted. I remember when I first got in this business and I got agents and they wanted me to sign all this paperwork. I said, "You work for me. Why am I signing paperwork?"
Yeah.
And I said, "No." And normally agents take their commission out of your check. I said, "No, no, no. I pay you." Mm-hmm. So I did it all backwards. They'd never had anyone do this. I used to collect my check and pay them. And it was my signal to them for them to remember
you're in charge,
that they work for me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing it to be a bitch. I was doing it because I know that psychologically I needed to remember I had that power. And we need that with the health system too, because people like that will make you feel lesser. Mm-hmm. And when you are rattling off what the side effects of something could be and you're ending with death and you're talking about my child, F off.
It's intense.
F off if you think I don't have a right to ask and that I don't have a right to question you.
Right. Well, and that was the great thing about what Vivian taught us, was to have a birth plan and stick to it and don't let them push you around, because they're on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that was something with Athena too. I had my friend Lori Bregman, who's a doula, help coach me and educate me on owning my power in the birth room. And we were in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And it was beautiful. We had the nicest hospital, the nicest staff. And they listened to everything that we wanted. And we had little, candlelight things. They were, fake candlelights. No lights in the room.
Beautiful.
And we didn't break her water. She was born in call because we didn't do any of that stuff. We had the most peaceful, beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Because, and I self-stimulated her for her cough. No one's smacking her and bringing her into this. You're already coming into this crazy world.
You're messed up.
leaving this beautiful, warm, sack to environment. Smack. Start right. Screaming, baby. Yeah.
Bright lights all on your face. Getting jabbed.
Yeah, so
scrubbed.
I was really grateful that I learned that, and I try to pass it on to as many people as you have rights, guys.
You do.
You have rights to question a surgeon and ask him, how many surgeries have you performed? Mm-hmm. Do you know that I've coached over 100 people on brain tumor surgeries, like as they were going to have it? I said, how many surgeries has your doctor performed? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And I go, well, don't you want to know how many cars your mechanic's fixed? Can he actually fix it?
Yeah.
So do you want someone who's done 500 brain surgeries and they just started? Or do you want someone who's done 5,000?
Yeah.
I want 5,000 in my brain. But we don't think like that. We think that someone who has a lab coat on is smarter than us, is better than us.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to be. We have to own our power. So I'm grateful for that example, because that's really scary. And my dad has gone into surgery now two different times, where one time they were going to cut his prostate instead of fix his wrist. And then he was going in for hernia surgery recently. And if my brother wasn't there, they were going to give him an epidural.
And a breast
because they thought he was doing something else. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But that's just an overwhelmed system.
Yep.
And you have to be there for checks and balances.
Yeah. Especially for yourself, and more importantly, for your kids.
Yeah. So Blue Light Glasses has been your business since all of this.
Yeah, 2019 we started, and then in 2020 we formed a nonprofit for, can we segue into
yeah.
that? Okay.
Look at you.
Yeah, thanks. We formed a nonprofit to help get donors to sponsor and buy glasses for kids in underserved areas, and that worked for great for a while. And then in 2022, last summer, when all the suicide data came out, it had spiked so high because of the pandemic, among other things, blue light being one of the things that can cause anxiety and depression, we decided to shift the mission of the nonprofit to help kids overcome anxiety, depression, and suicide. We got pretty aggressive at putting things together. My friend from college, Maurice, was helping me out at the time, and we just decided we were going to do this. And Bailey came on board, and we decided to kind of gamify it to where people could earn entry points into contests to win prizes like laptops or computers or phones. And by sharing the message, they get activated into it. And then I was talking with Maurice about kind of what we were trying to accomplish. And I said, oh, that'd be a great idea for a script. So I said, let me call you back in an hour. I wrote this script, sent it to him. We started talking about it, revising. And I called my really good friend, Melissa Kirkendall, who's a producer. She brought in this great cinematographer, Jake Wilganowski. And I spoke with a good friend of mine in town here, Lucas Foster, who's a wonderful movie producer, and asked him a whole bunch of advice. And we made this little short film about suicide. So that's kind of we're trying to hope that this becomes a viral thing about, there's two sides to this, because we've lost people who've committed suicide. The overwhelming thing I remember from myself and hearing from other people is, I knew something was wrong. I wish I would have said something. And the other thing is the stigma about asking for help when people are struggling, especially guys will tend to not want to reach out.
So you have one person who's afraid to say something or not sure, and then the other who's afraid to ask for help.
Right.
So everyone's just afraid.
Everyone's afraid and they don't do anything. And suddenly
the worst happens.
The worst happens. And it's happened several times in our family and with friends. I had a kid that worked for me in the oil business. Ended up talking to him, reached out to him. He said everything was fine. And a couple weeks later, he was dead. And so sometimes there's nothing you can do, but we're trying to promote and push this fun. You Are Loved is our hashtag.
I love the shirts.
And our Hope Chain Challenge is akin to the ALS Challenge, but rather than dumping ice and water over yourself, you basically make a quick video saying, hey, this is Dan. I've been anxious and depressed in my life sometimes, and thankfully there are people around who loved me. I just want to know you to know there are people out there who love you, and hashtag You Are Loved. And by the way, I'm tagging you, Maria, and you, Kevin. You're next in the Hope Chain Challenge. Mm-hmm. So our idea is to continue to spread this message of love and hope. It's just, and then Bailey can talk to the idea of the other weekly Hope Chain Challenges that we're going to do.
So yeah, and I want to ask after Kev helped me remember, I didn't realize how far and wide blue light toxicity went in terms of what it does to us. And I don't think we covered that enough. So I want to ask that after, but Bailey, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you think about the world we live in today. We're so bogged down with our health, with our life, with our relationships, with our families, with the news and the doom and gloom and all that sort of thing. And sometimes you don't realize how you feel until you're, feeling it too hard, and so it's really important for us to be able to share that message that, you are loved, you are supported, there are people here to help you. And I know for us, we really want to be that person in everyone's life and around us, we're here for you with whatever you need. And you think about blue light toxicity and how it affects your emotions, it affects your anxiety, it affects causing you to be depressed and all those things. And then you add whatever your input is too, right? So what are we looking at when we're looking at our phone, right? What is the news saying these days? What are we looking at? There's so much negative out there, right? And it's been proven that negative is 10 times more powerful than the positive. And so we need to overload ourselves with positive. And so we're trying to share those positive messages and reducing that stigma and be able to, really tell everybody that hey, there's good out there. You are good. There's good in the world and you can have that hope. So that's really where we're looking to go with this. Yeah.
Great. So you guys are going to tag me and Kevin in this hope chain, and then we're going to tag the heel squad. Mm-hmm. And then we need the heel squad to come through and do this and tag everybody else.
Can we back up a little bit? Because I've used to work with kids, and I've just seen this alarming increase in the rate. So I pulled it up, and I'm sure, Bailey, you know this, but I just wanted to let everyone else out there know that in adolescence, in the last 10 years, there's been a 48% increase in suicides.
What? Yeah. 48%?
Mm-hmm. And in young adults, in the last 10 years, and then in young adults, a 39% increase. So this is something that I just see going up and up and up, but like at an alarming rate.
You've been saying it forever.
Not 1 or 2% a year. Absolutely. Like an alarming rate. So yeah,
the number one killer of kids used to be car wrecks, and now I think suicide is it.
Right. So so Bailey, especially you, because you're young and so you're in the middle of all this, you know, what do we say to the parents or the young people listening to this? Like, what, you know, like, how do we help? I was told by somebody older than me when someone had committed suicide once, he said to me, you know, that's because somebody didn't take the time to see that person and hear what was going on. And so I think it really triggered me when you said what you said about, nobody talked to that person or questioned. So, I'd love to hear, because I'm sure a lot of parents listening are petrified of their kids, and mm-hmm. they kind of have a right to right now when you look at these statistics.
Absolutely. And the statistics are really hard to track too, because you can track the rate of the suicides, right? But you can't track the suicidal ideation or people who experience it or people who maybe didn't attempt suicide, or, you know, maybe attempted and didn't actually commit. Does that make sense? So there's, mm-hmm. it's such an alarming number, but I think it's even worse. Yeah. So, and then you think about, we're so connected, but we're so isolated at the same time, you know? And so when you look at, your friends, right, or your parents or your kids, and it's so important to have those connection times. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Kevin, when you said people just want to be heard. People just want to feel like they're, you know, there's somebody to listen to them or to feel what they're feeling or to understand or have that empathy. And so it's really important to just connect with those people around you and make sure that the door is open, right? It's not slammed shut. It's not locked. It's the door is open. Like, hey, I'm here for you. If there's anything that you need, if there's anything that you want to talk about, I'm here for you. I want to help you, you know? And that's even if you don't suspect something, right? You know, making sure that there's that open communication so that if there is something that comes up, then they know they have a place to come talk to.
Yeah. You know? It just hit me when you were talking that we're all connected. Yes. Yay, great, but we're isolated. So when you look at
genius daughter, huh?
Yeah, when you look at people at a restaurant, you look at people at an airport, everyone is literally like this.
Head down on the
Everyone's floor. Heads down. They're not talking to the partner. We are at dinner. You're not talking to your partner or whoever's in front of you. So what's happening is we're being talked at all day. This influencer is telling me what clothes to buy. That influencer is telling me, okay, great, some health stuff. Everyone's talking at us. We're consuming and swallowing it all. And by the way, if you're feeding yourself dark stuff, now you just swallowed a bunch of scary stuff. And there's no talking. That's the problem. It's these phones.
Yeah.
We're not connecting. We're not looking at each other in the eyes. So we're not used to it. So how could you go approach somebody and tell someone, I'm scared, I'm not having good thoughts, or, you know.
One of our goals is to get people all over the planet wearing these shirts. And it's so fun when you go out wearing this You Are Loved shirt. The reactions you get, every time I wear one out in public, somebody will come up and say, thank you for wearing that shirt. Aww. I love it. It's just like.
Yeah, I sent it to my brother. He loved it. I was like, he said, haha, I think I cracked a joke about at least the dogs love you. I cracked sister. A joke. Yeah.
Somebody loves you. Yeah. Right? So, well, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to plug that we're raising money to continue promoting this, but we're also raising money for these things called Hope Squads. They started in Utah by this guy, Dr. Greg Hudnall, I think is his name, 10 or 15 years ago. And he
we love a squad.
He's a good squad. Yeah. Hope Squad too. Hope and Heal. So he started it in Utah in his school district, and within 3 years, he went from an alarming rate of suicides to zero.
Wow.
And so there are 1,700 of these hope squads across the country, and it costs roughly $5,000 to get them set up in every school. So our goal is to get them in all 66,000 schools across the United States.
Oh, wow.
They're peer-led groups of kids that get trained. So if there's a child who's struggling, they can go to one of their peers and talk about it. And the child who is trained will learn to recognize these triggers and these symptoms and then reach out to a trusted advisor, an adult, bring in the support and help they need. So it's really this great thing that these kids in these schools, and the school we shot the video at is Timber Creek High School in Fort Worth, Texas. And my neighbor's the principal there. So I got to sit down with these kids who are on these hope squads. And it's so uplifting. It's so wonderful to see these kids who are just on fire to love each other and to help. And it's really a great thing.
I love that.
Because they can connect. And it's like, you know, we're Gen X, but they love to call us boomers. So it's, you know, they don't want to reach out to mom or dad. So they have these other kids they can reach out to.
So you buy the shirt.
Buy the shirt, wear it, yeah.
And the proceeds are going to building these hope squads.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Buy the shirt, donate, join in, sign up, tag, follow, join the contest, win stuff.
We'll put all of that in the links in this summary.
And I really want to plug the band who let us use their song, Little Image. They're from Dallas. The song Bottles that we used in the video is so beautiful. And they're a bunch of really cool young kids. So really
Yeah, we'll put a link to the video too. It was great, actually. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It was another catalyst for us getting on the phone.
It was my pretty big flex for my first film ever made.
I love it.
Yeah, he wrote, directed, and produced that. His first time. It was really impressive to see.
With my good friend, Melissa.
Yes.
Yeah, she's nice. Awesome. Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
Dan is a man of many talents. Mold, blue light glasses, short films.
Yeah, medical clinic.
Medical clinics.
100 kids.
80,000 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Well, I feel like you probably have learned so many healthy habits from your dad. Have you adopted all of them, some of them? I'm curious. And how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay.
So I've adopted some of them, and some of them I'm adopting.
Okay.
So I've dealt with some of my own health issues. Obviously, I was also struck with the mold and autoimmune type symptoms, as well as was diagnosed with Lyme disease and some PCOS reproductive things. And it's something that is so interesting that I didn't know before this whole experience, is that, you know, our body does so many things, right? And it's all connected. And so anything that would affect you in one area is probably affecting you in another. And so we're talking about what we're exposed to, what we're eating, what we're breathing in, what we're looking like, light and all that sort of thing. And it's all connected. And so a lot of the things that I was dealing with were spurred on by mold, or were spurred on by chemicals, or food allergies, or
non-native EMF.
Yes, non-native
EMF. Tell that story.
So I
go for it, Bailey.
Trying to make sure I'm thinking of the right thing here. So
smart meters.
Oh yes. So I feel like I had dealt with some of the mold stuff and was fairly healthy overall, and then I moved into an apartment in Dallas. And about 3-4 months later, I started feeling awful. I started getting headaches. I wasn't sleeping well. I developed a bunch of cysts on my ovaries and endometriosis and things like that. And I ended up in the ER at one point. I thought I was like, what is happening?
Appendicitis, yeah.
I thought it was appendicitis, you know, but and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so started trying all these different things. And turns out the wall of my bedroom in our apartment was the corner of our apartment complex. And it had all of the smart meters for the entire complex on our bedroom wall.
48. What are smart meters? The for electric, the gas meters. And electric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of like meter readers, now they're electric, so they can tap into them. And so
It puts out a Wi-Fi signal every less than 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're constantly getting bombarded with non-native EMF.
Our electric thing is right below our bedroom. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I suffer at night.
Yeah.
Could be.
Keep going then.
Okay.
Could be. I mean, but we had our entire building, so it was all right there. And so I was kind of like, oh, that's really weird. Like, you had mentioned it, but I was like, okay, Dad's crazy. He's got all these, you know, newfangled, like, conspiracy theories, tinfoil hat type of person. And so I was like, okay, whatever. Well, fast forward to, I lived there for 2 or 3 years. 3 or 4 months after moving out of that apartment, a ton of my symptoms went away. I was having debilitating pain, sharp pain, dull pain constantly throughout my entire month on my abdomen area. And about 4 months after I moved out of that environment, it all subsided, and it's more regular now than it's ever been. And it's just crazy to see just those external factors that we don't think about because it's so normal, especially when you live in a city. It's really normal to have electric meters, Wi-Fi routers, cars all the time, gas, exhaust, all those things that we just were used to, right? And then you move out of that environment and you feel better. You're like, whoa.
Maybe it was that.
Maybe he was right, you know? So it's definitely crazy to see. So I've definitely adapted some of the health practices, and some of them I'm getting into. I'm about to start the cold plunge stuff. I'm a little scared,
Just start get slow. Past the 2 minutes.
Yes.
I sing the craziest, most insane songs. I can do hard things. I can do hard things. I literally was singing yesterday when I was in there. And once you get past 2 minutes, you can put your shoulders down and you're like, okay.
Yeah. My hack is I wear little neoprene footies because my feet get too cold and I keep my wrists out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I can stay in there for 20 minutes, but I only stay in for about 6.
Yeah.
What temperature do you go?
So mine is at 52 right now. I need it to go lower, but I have to read the instructions to figure out how to.
Drop it 1 degree a day.
Oh.
Every day, just drop it a degree.
Okay. But yeah, I've been doing it in the afternoons after my workout. I just go in. Feels great.
I do it first thing in the morning, so I don't negotiate. And
yeah, you have courage. I don't have that courage. I need to have sun, and I need to feel like I'm hot.
Dan, does it feel like the new form of caffeine for you, in a sense?
It feels more like cocaine for me. It's like I feel so good after I do it. I feel like I'm 25 for 2 hours.
It's good. It's just really. I mean, listen, the people have called coffee cocaine for the brain. So.
Yep. Yep.
It's the next step over. Yeah, because I feel like sometimes when I'm exhausted, I'm all banged up in the morning. You get a coffee, kind of brings you back to life a little bit. But then when I did the cold plunge, I felt the same way. Yeah. I had this really great effect. For a couple of hours, I felt a lot better.
It's a huge increase in all the catecholamines, the norepinephrine, adrenaline, serotonin, dopamine. You just feel good. Yeah, feel really good for a while.
Yeah, I really, really love it too.
Yeah, I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing it every day.
First thing in the morning.
Damn.
Yeah.
I get, you know, I always try to.
Degrees.
I always try to find the hacks.
34?
Sorry.
No
way.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked down from 60.
God. Well, no, I worked down from 55. No, I went in at 30 something at first and then was like, shocking. This is insane.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go up because Dr. Allison said, even if it was at 55, she's like, my goal is for you to be in there for half an hour or more. She said, it's actually false to be in there for 1 minute or 2 minutes at the coldest. She said the best is to be in there long time for your body, and it lowers my blood sugar so fast.
Well, Dr. Cruz says the same thing, and he and Rick Rubin used to have contests where they'd see, you know, they'd stay in there for a long time. So, but I can't remember what her name is. Susanna Soberg. You should follow her. She's done I think a long study on the optimal amount is like 2 to 3 minutes every day.
Okay.
Under 50.
But got it.
It doesn't mean that more isn't better. I like more.
Yeah. Boo. We got to really commit. This is.
Well, I like the hack of putting something on your feet, and I'm with you. My wrists get so icy cold.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that you can keep.
I just sit there and I say my morning prayers like this.
Oh.
With my hands out of the water.
But it's funny. I'm doing, just doing the math in my head. If, you know, I'm living in an apartment and I have a bathtub, I suppose if I got a bag of ice at like a 7-Eleven, which would be minimal, be like a couple of bucks, and I filled up a tub, I probably could get that effect, if
close enough.
Yeah, and the way Dr. Cruz taught me to start was to fill like a bowl of water with ice.
Put your face in it.
Put your face in up to your ears, hold your breath for 30 seconds, and do it 3 or 4 times. And it doesn't what's his name, Michael Phelps, had to eat like 8,000 calories a day while he was training, and it was partly because of the heat loss, because he's in the water, you know, for 4 or 5 hours at 70 degrees. He's basically in a lighter cold plunge for a long time.
So it's a weight loss trigger too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I see my blood sugars just poop.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, if I had type 2 diabetes, I would never need any metformin or anything like that. Potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
Because of at least what I see that it's doing in my body.
It's crazy. It's really good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, this has been very educational. And Bailey, thank you so much for sharing everything about Hope Chain. We're going to put everything in the summary of this episode. And
I'll send you links and
the yeah, top you have 10 your homework.
List. Yeah,
we need our top 10 list of things to buy and do for mold poisoning and all
general
of that.
Health. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
And the best way to thank Dan and Bailey for doing all this for you is to support their cause.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's our cause.
It is our cause.
Yeah, everybody's we're really excited cause. About it. We're going to do these weekly Hope Chain challenges after the first one is out, and once we have a few more people on board, but. It'll be a, you know, go out and hug 5 strangers, go visit an old person, call somebody you haven't talked to in over a year, tell them you love them. So we want to spread the love because it's...
We need it.
We need it bad. There's a bunch of negativity.
And that's how we'll connect. You know, you said we're all so isolated, but we have these challenges where we're reaching out to our friends online, but then reaching out to the people in person. We can all get connected that way and build a culture of hope and... culture of love and positivity.
So. Oh yeah, and we have a 2-day youth group challenge that we've developed that we're giving away for free to youth groups.
Oh cool.
So that'll be up on the website too, hopechain.com.
All right. I love it. I told Kevin after brain surgery, he's like, "What do you want to do?" I'm like, "I just want to hug people. Like I wish that could be my job." So my dream for Athena is to make the irrational or like the things that are not like technically possible, right? So that maybe she could go do that for a living.
That'd be like, great. Just keep her away from the creeps.
Yeah, just want to hug people, give people love.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, thank you.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.
Hey, Heal Squad, we have been on quite the journey together, and we're hearing from so many of you just how much this show is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. We love, love, love it, and we just ask that you don't keep it to yourself. Spread the message and share the show or your favorite episode with your friends, and if you want to help us even more, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow us on Instagram at Heal Squad. You can also DM us anytime because we love connecting with you. And finally, you can also join us on Patreon for our monthly live heal events with world-class healers and ad-free episodes exclusive only to Patreon and our Super Heal Squad for as little as $10 a month. So go to patreon.com/healsquad to join. Getting better isn't easy, friends, but as I say all the time, it's a whole lot easier if we can do it together. We love you all so much, and we love doing this thing called life with you.